Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone, along with my co-host Leslie Gold. Nina Baldwin is a successful restaurateur who's also passionate about building business and helping others to success. She particularly enjoys helping women in the business world, so she wrote a book, Helping Women Succeed in Business, complete with her experiences as well as interviews with 18 successful business people. Nina Baldwin is Chief Operations Officer at Polino Restaurants, and prior to this, she was president of Mancha Development Company, owning and operating 70 restaurants in Southern California and Nevada. You've got a lot of experience, Nina. Welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Valerie. It's good to be here. And, you know, I've been in the restaurant industry since I was 13 years old. So, yes, I have a lot of experience.
Why restaurants? How did you get involved with that career path and at such a young age?
You know, it wouldn't be something that most people would think, oh, I'm going to make this my career. But at 13, my mom purchased a little small restaurant, and it was mandatory that I worked there. It really wasn't voluntary, but I found I enjoyed it, and I started doing it, and I felt good doing it, and I felt like I could help people, and I started learning, and I just kind of went up the ranks, and every job that I got, I enjoyed more than I did the one before, and I absolutely love the restaurant industry.
I have a feeling, Nina, that you'd be successful in whatever business you choose. You obviously love restaurants and food, but there's another component to what you do, and that is building relationships with people and really nurturing the business, which is why you wrote this book. So the book is about
how
to help other people in the world of business. What have you learned in all these years about business that you really love to share with other people?
You know, in my career with restaurants and with people, I have learned, you are right, that it's the people aspect of the business. And I laugh now because I say, you know, we sell pasta, we sell pizzas to pay the bills, but I'm really in the people business. It's all about helping people be better than they ever thought they could be. So when I went through my struggle in 2009, I was laid off from my job as president, and it was just a shock to me. Never, ever not had a job. And during that time, opened my eyes to things such as networking and how women don't network as well as we should, interviewing. And one of my favorite chapters is women interview like they date one at a time, and men interview like they date all at the same time, and that's why they get the jobs.
Okay, so what you're saying is women are monogamous in the business approach, and men are like, whatever, bring it on. And that's a very, very good point, because that's an excellent point. I think women feel committed to the process one at a time, and men cast their wide net.
Yes. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in coaching one lady recently, she said, I was telling her this process, and she said to me, I have to tell you, after I've interviewed with one person and I really want that job, I feel like I'm cheating if I interview with somebody else. We have to realize this with women and just say, we're not cheating. It's not, you know, it's okay. And as a matter of fact, it's what you need to do, because until they give you an offer letter in writing, it's fair game to look for anything, because if you go down that path for 2, 3, 4 months interviewing and they choose someone else, now you got to start all over.
Right. I myself experienced that. I felt uncomfortable because I thought I was getting an offer, and then I had a dilemma, and then I had no offer at all.
Yes, that's what happened.
Yeah, no, I learned my lesson pretty quickly, but this is an excellent point that you bring up that I don't think people realize. You talk a lot about the interview process. You also talk about the power of networking. I think women are just beginning to get that idea most recently. Prior to the last five years maybe, it wasn't something women did. Men were really good at that.
Right. I totally agree. And I'm a prime example, because what was happening is there are very few executive women in some companies, in a lot of the big companies, still kind of the, you know, good old boy network type thing. And so the women that did get the job, they were, number one, so busy, so focused, and I don't want anybody else to take that job, so I'm going to do a really good job, and I'm not going to mentor and bring other women along. And I don't really think it was all intentional, but that's what happened. So nobody was helping anybody else. It was just like, you know, we don't do that. Unlike men that, you know, sporting events, everything, they learn to just bring everybody along with them because there's plenty of jobs. So I learned that once I was unemployed, I had a lot of friends in the industry, a lot of acquaintances, a good reputation, but I was not a good networker because I was so busy with my job and my family and everything else that took my time. And it's like, this is a big chapter in my book because it's so important for women to say, okay, we need to network, we need to help each other, we need to bring each other along and not be worried about it.
I also think women are afraid to ask. They're afraid to just ask the question.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And I said, you know, it took me about 3 months of not working and trying to figure out, oh my gosh, get over the shock. And then I said, you know, I knew what I needed to do. I'm a smart woman. I knew what I needed to do. But the biggest thing I needed to do was ask, and I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed and didn't want to tell. I don't have a job. I need a job. Can you help me? Was very, very hard for me to say.
Absolutely. You interview 18 successful people in the book. Are they all women, or is it a cross-section?
It's 17 women and one man.
Okay. So how did one man get in?
He got in because he was my book coach, and I learned so much from him, and he is a bestseller. He has 2 books on the bestseller market, and he is just phenomenal with men and women, and I just really wanted his insights, and I really enjoyed being around him and learning from him, too, and I thought, oh, I want to add him, so I did. He was my bonus.
Well, it's always good to have a man in the room. I always say that. I'm speaking with Nina Baldwin, whose book, Helping Women Succeed in Business, can help women and men, anybody, to get principles of business and understand how it helps to network, how it helps to interview on many levels. What else falls between the covers of your book, Nina?
Oh my gosh, there's so many chapters. There's just, you know, and there's just so many little bits of information as we go along. It's just how to be a woman in business, and although, you know, there's lots of men around, you don't need to be a man, act like a man, you don't need to dress like a man. We're very proud of being women, and we can be very successful just being ourselves. We don't have to be the one that goes and gets the coffee. That's not necessary. So how to be comfortable with what you do, what you know, how to work hard and smart. You know, there's so many people that say, oh, just work smart. No, no, no. Nowadays, let's work hard and smart and be very confident in what we know, what we have to offer, and people will see it.
How about creating the need for you in a company, how to be an asset in your particular organization?
Yes, yes, I do. I do have a chapter that in being a value. How do you add value, and what is your value, and make sure that you understand your weaknesses and your strengths and what you can add to that company to make them value you every day.
You talk about faking it till you make it. That's a great phrase that we often say, fake it till you make it. But in terms of business, how does that work?
I talk about in the restaurant business, you know, and we talk about it in the restaurant a lot to just say that. And I always tell everybody, you know, when you come in, not every day do you feel on top of the world. Fake it. Come in with a smile. Come in with a good attitude. Know your plan for the day. Know what you want to accomplish. What is your goals? What is the passion of the business? And come in and fake it, and it will come to you.
You're in a service business, which adds another layer of complexity to the business world that you're in, because you have to make everybody that walks in the door happy. That's the goal. And as a customer of restaurants, which I love, I always say, just make me feel good when I walk in. Don't give me problems. If something can't be done, find another way of making me feel better. You know, that's all I want.
Yes. And I tell our employees, we're not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes. It's how you handle it once you do. Just make sure that customer just feels really good before he left, because you've done everything you can. One of our Polino pledges is find a yes for the guest to make sure. You know, when they come in and they say, I want this and this, don't say, no, we don't do that.
Right.
You say, okay, let's see how we can do that. Here's what I can do for you. Don't use the word no.
Right.
Here's how I can do this for you. And they feel so special. If you just talk with them, treat them with respect, get them what they need. There are so many restaurants to choose. Why do they come to Pollino? Because of the people. Because
Absolutely.
Of what we will do. And if it's wrong, I'll make it right. No matter what I have to do, I'm okay with that.
I agree 100%. I can't wait to read your book, Helping Women Succeed in Business. Nina Baldwin is the author of the book, a speaker and chief operations officer at Pollino Restaurants. Thank you so much for your conversation today, Nina.
Thank you, Valerie, for having me here. And I hope I can help women all the way around. Anything I could do, I'd be glad to do it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. It's Valerie Smaldone with Leslie Gold on the Envision Radio Network.
American.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How about an easy way to increase the odds you'll sleep better tonight? All you gotta do is prepare the brain. Here's the science of it.
Doesn't anybody ever get any sleep around here?
Years ago, before electricity, not so bright campfires, hearths, and candles illuminated the night. Today's home, however, has 300, 400, 500 plus watt bulbs per room continually glaring throughout the evening. While it may be night outside, your brain still thinks it's daylight. So about 2 hours before bedtime, turn off all the lights except one, then your brain will start to respond the way it's wired, and off to sleep you go.
Hey, wake up and go to sleep.
What's the cheap psychological trick? It may be modern times, but your pre-wired brain still thinks gradual darkening from dusk to dark night is a requirement for good sleep. More info at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Jim and Sarah were in court hashing out details of their divorce. The judge seemed to side with Sarah on every request involving the children. Things were going so well, she requested the judge to make it a violation of Jim's visitation rights if he smoked on the days he had the kids. Jim violently objected, stating that smoking in the privacy of one's own home is a legal right. How do you think the judge ruled in this case? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Lately, in many states, courts are ordering parents in custody and visitation disputes not to smoke around the children. Sarah won, and that's the final verdict.